From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Suresh Rao Safkur of Radio Sai. Suresh Rao sir, as we call him, hails from Mumbai and is a chemical engineer by profession. He got his bachelor's from the University of Mumbai and master's from University of Arkansas, USA. He served the Department of Atomic Energy, Mumbai as a Class 1 officer and later joined the Bhabha Atomic Research Center and worked there for 19 years till he retired at the age of 60. He is now settled in Prashanthi Nilayam serving Bhagwan through Radio Sai from the year 2004. He is also a poet and has published 4 books, out of which 3 books are of poems and the third one is on Bhajagovindam by Sri Shankaracharya. And the topic for his talk today is Maya as explained by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 2nd of December 2016. Interspersed and after the talk we have some beautiful Sufi songs by Kailash Kher, which he offered to our beloved Bhagwan on the 15th of July 2008. At 3:30 p.m. we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. Stay tuned.
Our topic for today happens to be how Sai explains Maya. Now, Swami has talked about this in his Jnana Vahini, Brahma Sutra Vahini, and so many other Vahinis also. And also in many of his talks, he has given important facets of this Maya. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, this Maya of mine is very hard or very difficult to cross over. But those who surrender unto me, I shall take them across. So, the Lord himself has said it is very hard to cross over. You can understand the depth of understanding required to know what is Maya and how to overcome this Maya. The Upanishads also talk many things about Maya. Isha Upanishad says, it is the wheel that covers the truth. This wheel is golden, rich and gaudy and dazzling, with the result that it takes away the mind of the observer from the inner truth. We get fascinated, the senses are enslaved and Maya reigns supreme. So, it is a very difficult proposition, and Advaita Vedanta talks about this to explain Brahman and how Maya can be overcome, because Maya is an illusion. You see, that words, these words will be frequently coming in: illusion, Maya, truth, etc. Kathopanishad says, people live in ignorance but think themselves wise and move about, wander about like blind men leading the blind. This very wonderfully they have put it, how the ego plays games even with the wise. The blind leading the blind and all fall into the ditch. That's what happened. So we really need a realized being, a jnani or an avatar, to really tell us about these things. See, authentic voice of the Lord, the authentic voice of the avatar is what we need to follow. Otherwise it's like blind leading the blind into the ditch. Chandogya Upanishad says the Atman is the only reality. The Atman, we also call it Brahman. And everything else is merely a word, a mode, or a name. That is name and form. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says the Lord is one, but on account of Maya, he is perceived as manifold. See, the one is seen as many, and that itself is Maya. When the one is seen as the one, you are the liberated. Shvetashvatara Upanishad identifies Maya with nature. See, everything around us is nature. We really don't go out of it. We are always bound by nature in all ways. See? But this nature is Maya. No nature to be Maya and the ruler of Maya to be the Lord Himself. So they differentiate between Maya and the Lord of Maya. Because that is required for us to comprehend and also realize the importance of the Lord who is the Lord of Maya. So we see what is not Maya in this world. Everything is transient, everything is temporary, everything is changing, everything is a mixture of opposites, good and bad. So everything we encounter, everything we perceive, everything we experience is bound by Maya. And then how to get beyond this bondage is what we are talking about, as what Swami tells us. So Maya is something that pervades everything in our lives. Our thoughts, our actions, the food we eat, the time of the day and night, the activities we do, the professions we carry out. And so Maya binds us with three different types of chains. The golden chain, the copper chain, and the iron chain. Because Maya is nothing but the three gunas. The sattvic guna, the rajasic guna, and tamasic guna. When we are sattvic, we are still under Maya, the thraldom of Maya. But those are golden chains, we say. Now you wouldn't like to be chained all the while, whether it is gold or diamonds or silver, because you want freedom. Freedom from all bondage, freedom from all chains. Suppose you have been put in a beautiful cage made of gold and studded with diamonds, would you be happy? A cage is always a cage, bondage is always a bondage, whether it's made out of gold chains or iron chains. And so liberation and freedom is what man earns. Freedom is the goal, end of wisdom is freedom, Swami says. So Maya and freedom. Bondage of Maya, to overcome that gives you freedom, true freedom. We don't mean freedom of speech or freedom of moving around or freedom of expression or freedom of the press. Those kind of freedoms are all relative freedoms which we encounter within the bounds of Maya. But here we are talking about true freedom, the spiritual freedom, which takes you beyond Maya. So Maya is nothing but pairs of opposites, good, bad, right, wrong, joy, sorrow, happiness, misery, etc., etc. And we are all bound by these two opposites. And it's also the three gunas, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. And we are bound by these gunas. So when we encounter this Maya, we need to do a sadhana so that these gunas, from tamasic we have to raise it to rajasic and from rajasic to sattvic. That is all the sadhana we can do. Going beyond the sattvic or the golden chain is the grace of God that takes you to freedom. So sadhana has to be done so as to overcome this tamasic, rajasic qualities and raise yourself, refine yourself, culture yourself to the sattvic guna. We find everywhere these three gunas play an important part. The food we eat, for example, why Swami says you take vegetarian diet, you avoid too many spices, chilies, avoid stale foods, have food cooked by at home by your mother, etc., etc. All this is to raise your food quality to the sattvic level. says avoid meats, avoid fish, or avoid so many other things, because they take you to the tamasic levels. So food is also one of the things. Then if you see these 24 hours of the day, break it into 8 hours, 8 hours, 8 hours. Daytime from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., that is 8 hours, is an active period when we are all doing our work. You know? So that is called the Rajasic period. Swami tells us this. Similarly, when you go from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., that comes under the Tamasic period because you are sleeping. You see? And 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. morning and 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. evening, that is totally 8 hours, is called the Sattvic period. Because that is when you can, the Brahma Muhurtam, that is the time you do Sandhya Vandanam, and that is the time you pray, go to temples, etc. So that comes under the Sattvic period. So everywhere we see these three gunas having their play, you see. Even the caste system which was developed and which Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, now what we have is a degenerated form of caste system. But caste system was based on these gunas. The Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras. The sattvic mode, the sattvic qualities which are predominant among what supposed to be the Brahmins. And where the rajasic activities come in, the rajasic thoughts come in, sattvic cum rajasic makes you the kshatriya, that is the warrior, the protector of the race, the soldiers, the people who are defending the nation. So there rajas is required because you have to fight. So similarly, then the tamasic comes, vaishyas and mixture of sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, see, and so on. It's always a mixture. Nobody is really very pure sattvic or pure rajasic or pure tamasic. It's always a mixture, but the proportion of the mixture is to be enhanced so that sattvic predominates over the rajasic and tamasic one. For example, if you see in a class with three boys sitting in like a Balvikas class, we have some children, and you tell three of them to sit in meditation. What happens? One may be sitting, now that is a sattvic activity when you say do sit in meditation. He may sit in meditation, but after some time, he will be disturbed by the mosquitoes or flies, or he may be thinking about what's cooking in the kitchen or some such thing, and that becomes a rajasic rajasic in sattvic meditation. See, that two things come in here. Meditation is sattvic, but then rajas has come in because his thoughts are wandering. Another boy may be sitting for a meditation, that is again sattvic. And finally, you may feel drowsy and you may even fall asleep. And that becomes tamasic in sattvic. That is a combination of sattvic with tamasic. A third boy who is sitting for meditation may be able to get a little peace, a feeling of joy and a feeling of happiness. There you see that is a sattvic meditation, sattvic with sattvic. So this way everything is connected by sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Interplay of these three gunas. So that comes under the domain of Maya again. So Swami says, whatever you see with your eyes, for example the colors, black is supposed to be tamasic, see? Color. Red is supposed to be a rajasic color because, you know, red stands, when you say anger is red, we say, etc. So red anger, red is associated with rajas, and white, purity, is associated with sattva guna. So when the physical eye sees the world, you see that the eye itself is made up of these three colors. You have the white ball, then you have the black pupil, and then you have the red rim, you know, that where you have all the blood vessels, etc. So these three colors can only show you only the three gunas. In other words, whatever you see is made up of three gunas. But the charma chakshu, that is what Swami calls it, a charma chakshu, the fleshy eye, cannot take you beyond. But the spiritual eye or the jnana chakshu is the only chakshu that can take you beyond these three gunas. We call it the third eye of Shiva and all that. That is actually the spiritual eye which takes you beyond three gunas. So we see this Maya and Brahman are like two parallel lines, infinite lines going on and on. For Maya is something which binds us life after life, life after life. It is eternal, so to say. So that's why it's called an infinite line, parallel line to Brahman. But for the jnani who has crossed over, there is only the Brahman existing and Maya vanishes. So it's always one, the one Brahman alone that exists. And that is the beauty of the jnana or knowledge of Brahman. So when we see, it is the mind, that of mind of man, that is responsible for this bondage. Mind again comes under Maya, because it's a form of matter, subtle matter. And this mind and Maya is what is responsible for the bondage of man. So Swami calls it a thief. The mind is the thief which has stolen the jewel of the Atman, the diamond. The diamond Atman is stolen by the thief mind. So die mind, that is mind has to be annihilated or controlled, and you know, leads to the diamond of Atman. Die mind leads to the diamond of Atman. So mind is responsible for bondage, and mind also can take you towards liberation. Swami says, in a key, if you put it in a lock, you turn it one way, it binds, locks. You turn it the other way, it releases, and you are relieved, freed. So mind plays that key role of bondage as well as ultimate liberation. There is a beautiful example Swami gives in mind. Suppose there are, he asked these boys, what is 3 minus 1? And everybody said 2. He said, wrong. In spiritual mathematics, 3 minus 1 is equal to 1. And then he explained, you know, suppose there is an object, there is a mirror in front. Then there is an image inside the mirror. So there are 3, object, image and the mirror. You remove the mirror, what remains is 1, the object. The image is also vanishing with the mirror. So this mirror is what is called Maya. Huh? And object is Brahman, and image is this world. When this Maya is overcome, the image of the world as the world vanishes. And in this place, that is only Brahman, a God. So that is a beautiful way Swami puts it, as how Brahman pervades everything.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
सब तन धागा सब तन खाइयो मेरा चुन चुन खाइयो मास दोने ना मत खाइयो मोहे पिया मिलन की आस हो नी मैं जाना 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 जाना जो गीत नाल नी मैं जाना जो गीत नाल नी जाना जो गीत नाल नी मैं जाना जो गीत नाल ओ नी मैं जाना 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 जाना जो गीत नाल नी जाना जो गीत नाल नी जाना जो गीत नाल नी मैं जाना जो गीत नाल नी रांझा रांझा कर दी नी मैं आपे रांझा
are now listening to Love to Love as a part of the Thursday Live on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. We will now continue with the talk by Sri Suresh Rao Savkur on Maya as explained by Bhagwan Sri Sakti Sai Baba. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 2nd of December 2016. Stay tuned.
So somebody has said, some great Jnani, it is not a human, we are not human beings with a divine experience or a spiritual experience. We are not human beings with a spiritual experience. But we are spiritual beings with a human experience. See, the stress has to be on the spiritual nature of man rather than the human or physical nature of man. Now when he says we are spiritual beings with a human with experience, what Adi Shankara says is this human experience is an illusory experience. We'll come to it later. It's transient, temporary, changing. So the illusory experience, if you discard, what remains is only the spirit. The spirit and nothing but the spirit. And the spirit is one. The spirit first, spirit last. Everything else dissolves, disappears. So that is Brahman, realization of Brahman. That's another way that Swami puts it. So what do we see? Important thing we realize is that this world is not our goal of life. We many a time think this is the world, everything we get is from this world, and therefore this is the goal of my life. Seeking the pleasure, seeking the joy, seeking fulfillment, etc. from the world. But this world is changing, transient, temporary. How can it be the goal? And if it is the goal, why should I die? And I put an end to all my enjoyments and senses and joys and whatnot, whatnot. So everything is temporary. The one who enjoys and the thing that is enjoyed is also temporary, transient. So the world is not the goal, but the means to a goal. We have to realize this world is for our benefit, so that we can raise ourselves through the world. Why do we try to serve others? Why do we try to help others? Why do we, Swami says, go and serve others, love others? Thereby, we are able to improve ourselves. We think we are improving the condition of the man who is suffering. But more than that, we are improving ourselves. See, that is the beauty of this world. It is like a gymnasium where you come and develop your spiritual muscles, as Swami Vivekananda puts it. This world only serves that purpose, that you have it for your own benefit. It is for your own evolution. It is for your own improvement that the world is there for you. And the improvement you can do by trying to help the world, because then you will be helping yourself. So that is the approach that we have to develop in our life. Death is a very important aspect of spirituality. And you find many of these great sages talking about death and immortality. Mrityor ma amritam gamaya. See, the fear of death is universal. Why? Because of ignorance, we say. Because we think we are the body, because we think we are finite, and then the fear comes. The mind puts all kinds of thoughts and negativities. So we see spirituality is a very positive science. It takes you beyond all negatives, and therefore it has to be cultivated. When Shankara says, Brahman Satyam Jagat Mityam, ஜீவோ பிரம்மேவ ந பரஹ. பிரம்மன் இஸ் த்ருத் அண்ட் வேர்ல்ட் இஸ் அண்ட் இல்யூஷன். ஜீவோ பிரம்மேவ ந பரஹ. தி ஜீவா இஸ் நாட் டிஃபரெண்ட் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மன் ப்ரொவைடட் இட் ஷெட்ஸ் ஆல் இட்ஸ் இல்யூஷரி லிமிட்டேஷன்ஸ் அண்ட் இமேஜினேஷன்ஸ். And then it becomes one with Brahman. So we see that the jnani and the samsari, we call a samsari a man who is bound by maya. It's not that when a man gets married and he has a family, he becomes a samsari. Samsara is inherent in illusion or ignorance. And crossing the ocean of samsara is crossing the ocean of ignorance. So the difference between the jnani and the samsari is very great. That is the Lord Krishna tells in chapter 2. Where the jnani is awake, the samsari is asleep. And where the samsari is awake, the jnani is asleep. That means one who is bound by the senses and lives in the world of senses, to that jnani is asleep. That means he has gone beyond the world of the senses. He doesn't get carried away by the lure of the senses, the temptations, etc. And where the jnani is awake, the samsari is asleep. Samsari, the jnani is in the state of Brahman. The samsari says, where is this Brahman? Some say, where is this God? Some say he is in the heaven. Some say he has got three heads. For him it is an illusion, an imagination. So what is true for one becomes an illusion for the other. And what is an illusion for the other becomes truth for one, the other one. So that Krishna says this is like the day and night. The difference between the jnani and the samsari. The one who is bound by maya and one who has gone beyond maya. So maya includes name and form. Brahman is called Sachidananda. Existence, knowledge, bliss. Maya includes name and form. And so, the name and form are always changing, see. Transient. The boy of today is the young man of tomorrow. The youth of today is the old man of tomorrow. And so on, changes keep on taking place. Name and form changes. And so that comes under the purview of Maya. And the opposites, birth, death, etc. There's a beautiful analogy which is given in Upanishads also and the Yoga Vashishta, which I will just talk about. And this will require some maybe contemplation to realize the value of it. In Yoga Vashishta, as you know, Yoga Vashishta is a great text where Vashishta, the Muni, sage Vashishta, is talking to Lord Rama when Rama is a young adult. See, as a guru. Rama at the age of 16 or so goes into a deep state of Vairagya. He has no interest in the world, he has no interest in the senses, he has no interest in enjoyments. And he is a prince, crown prince. And Dasharatha is very much worried. How will this boy rule the kingdom? He has lost all interest. The deep Vairagya. So he calls his guru Vashishta to guide him and advise him and, you know, bring him up. And so this is a big dialogue between Vashishta and the young Rama. Vashishta knows the future of Rama. He knows he is the avatar born. And that the phase that he is going through is a necessary phase, so before he realizes who he is. And in that they talk a lot about this Advaita Vedanta, the highest philosophy of Vedanta, that is. We have Advaita, we have Vishishta Advaita, and we have Dvaita, the three schools. They are all steps, one leading to another, and the highest is the Advaita Vedanta. In those days they didn't have screens and pictures and all that, like we have now for examples. Swami always gives the example of the screen and the picture. So what Vasishtha tells him, what exists in the beginning and what exists in the end also exists in the middle. Now this is a little, if you give the example of the screen and the picture, then you can understand it now. You have a big screen and you are going to project a film on it. What do you see? There is a blank screen initially, and then there is a picture projected on the screen, and then after an hour or so the picture ends and again there is a blank screen. So the screen exists in the beginning, the screen exists in the end, the screen also exists in the middle. But unfortunately we get carried away by the film, the picture, we forget the existence of the screen. That is the way with this world of Maya. We are carried away by what is happening, but we forget the screen behind this world of Maya, that is the Lord Himself, who is the basis for the entire thing, you know, without which you cannot project the film. So without the Lord, this universe cannot have any existence. So Yoga Vasishtha talks about this existence of that at the beginning, at the middle, and also at the end. That consciousness, Swami calls it constant integrated awareness. You have to be aware of it at all times. The beginning or the middle or the end, you see. Otherwise it's not constant integrated awareness. In other words, as a corollary I will say, what has a beginning and an end has an illusory middle. What has a beginning and an end has only an illusory middle. For example, the film that is projected has a beginning and an end, and what is in between is all part of Maya or illusion. That is what the way they put it, see. So this Maya is a very hard thing to cross over. We see that everywhere we are, it is like we are like a fish in a sea. Everywhere there is water, water up, water down, water sides. We can never know what is the sky, because we are always in the water. The sky of freedom, for that you have to evolve. From a fish you have to be first an amphibian, like a frog or a turtle, and from that you have to become a bird, evolve further to become a bird so that it can fly in the sky. So that evolution is very important here, the spiritual evolution. Darwin talks about theory of evolution. I mean, I don't know much about it, but he talks only at the physical level and the maybe the intellectual level. So man is the highest form of evolved beings. According to our theory of evolution also, 84 lakhs of species have been generated before you develop, before you can become a man or a human being. So it is that difficult. Jantu nam jana durlabham, most precious and rarest of the things is a human birth. So but that is not the end of it. I mean, nobody else talks about it, but the spiritual being comes in here. From the human being, he has to realize that he is a spiritual being and that he is one with God. See, that is the evolution we are talking about. And it's only man who can attain to that level, because he has, God has given him all the facilities, all the abilities, all the necessary qualities and necessary thought process, conscience, whatnot. And therefore man has the highest, the crown of creation, but he has to reach the perfection state of spiritual perfection. So that is our theory of evolution. The talk of nothing short of the infinite Brahman. Baba has given example of Maya. He has compared it to a watchdog. Ferocious watchdog. If you want to enter the house of your master, at the gate there is a big ferocious dog who will not let you enter it. And that is Maya. Now what can you do? At the most you can stand by the before the gate and shout for the master. And if you are fortunate, the master will hear you. He will come down, take you by the arm and lead you to the mansion. And the dog will be passive. See, that is the way Maya works. When an avatar comes, he can take you all the way up to the mansion and Maya will not come in the way. Or you can do another thing, what the Jnani does. He grapples with this dog. Very difficult. To grapple with your mind, you grapple with your heart, you grapple with your desires, control them, extinguish them. It's a tough job, isn't it? And he grapples with the dog and he ties him up, muzzles him, puts him by the side and then goes to the mansion. So there are two ways. One is the bhakti marga and other is the jnana marga. To attain to this highest level. And the rishis, the Upanishadic rishis, the great rishis and sages, they perform this task of jnana and attain to the highest stages. And that is the rishi culture of Bharatiya culture. We call what is this Bharatiya culture? It is the great rishi culture. The great rishi culture, the sages culture, the jnani's culture, the highest culture. If you read the Upanishads, you come across stories of these great rishis, how they attained to that level. Bhrigu and Sukadeva and Yajnavalkya and of course Vashishta is there, Vishwamitra, so many sages we have, all attained to that highest level.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Heere moti mehna chahu main to chahu sangam tera main to teri saiya tu hai Saiyan, tu jo chule आजा चंदा बाहों में तुझ में गुम हो जाऊं मैं तेरे नाम में खो जाऊं सैया से झूमे गाएं रातें पल पल मुझे डुबाए जाते जाते तुझे जीत जीत हारू ये प्राण प्राण वारू हाय ऐसे मैं तेरी आरती उतारू तेरे नाम से जुड़े हैं सारे नाते सैया सैया बनके माला प्रेम की तेरे तन पे झर झर जाऊं बैठूं नैया प्रीत की संतार से तर जाऊं मैं तेरे प्यार से तर जाऊं सैया देता उठाए अब बावरा हुआ मन जग हो गया है रोशन ये नई नई सुहागन हो गई है तेरी जोगन कोई प्रेम की पुजारन मंदिर सजाए सैया तेरा मैं ना जानूं तू ही जाने मैं तो तेरी तू है मेरा मैं ना जानूं तू ही जाने मैं तो तेरी तू है मेरा मैं तो तेरी तू है मेरा
You're now listening to Love to Love as a part of the Thursday Live on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. We will now continue with a talk by Sri Suresh Rao Savkur on Maya as explained by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 2nd of December 2016. Stay tuned.
So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, four types of devotees come to me. Artha, the Artharthi, the Jignasu and the Jnani. Artha, he says, the one who is sick and suffering and needs help. They come to pray to God and God blesses them and helps them. Artharthi is the one who is in need of prosperity and wealth and well-being to prosper in life. And he comes to God, prays to God and God blesses him also. The Jignasu comes to him because he is interested in spiritual matters. He wants to know more about the path to God, the sadhana he has to do, the prayers he has to say, and he, Swami blesses, God blesses him also with, graces him and shows him the way, the path. And the Jnani comes to him. The Lord says, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the Jnani is most dear to me. He is one with me. He and I are not different. He has nothing to tell the Jnani because the Jnani is already one with him. That's the beautiful thing about this. And all categories of people fall in these four categories. Yeah, we are, sometimes we are Arthas, sometimes we are Artharthis, sometimes we are Jignasus. And Jnani is something we have hopefully await someday. Whenever we are suffering, we think of the Lord. Whenever we need some prosperity or wealth or some such materialistic gains, we also pray to the Lord. Whenever we think of spirituality and how to realize God and what sadhana to do, then again we approach God. So we are all mixture of all these four types. There is no class compartmentalization. But the Jnani is one who has crossed all this and he is at a state where he is one. And that is the goal actually, goal of life. Swami tells about two fisherwomen. You might have heard these stories. These two fisherwomen were selling their fishes, you know, in the baskets, in a mela. There was a huge rush and a big crowd and they spent the entire evening selling the fish. And by the time the baskets were empty, it was already night time. And so they had to walk several kilometers to reach their home. They say at night time it's not good to walk back. So they went to a temple nearby. And the priest was there, who was about to close the temple. They asked, requested the priest whether they could spend the night there, you know, because they have to, don't want to go in the dark. The priest obliged them. He said, okay, but don't bring those dirty smelling baskets inside. Keep them out on the veranda. And then you can sleep in the hall there, in the temple. So they agreed. And the priest went away to his house and this fisherwoman slept. Early morning, the priest comes to start the temple, you know, open the temple and start the cleaning up and lighting the lamps and all. And what does he see? He sees the two fisherwomen sleeping in the temple with the fish baskets on their heads. The priest is very angry. He wakes them up and shouts at them. And then they beg his pardon. They say, sir, we are really very sorry. But when we slept at night in this temple, we were getting the smell of agarbattis and other perfumes. And we could not sleep because they are used to the smell of fish. So what we had to do is we got the baskets and put it on our heads and we got very good sleep. So this world is like that. This world is like a fish basket. this world of senses. We crave for enjoyments of this fish basket. And then when perfumes and all are given to us, like, you know, thoughts of God and thoughts of spiritual thoughts, etc., we find we are uncomfortable with it, you see. We want to go back to our fish basket. So, that is what gunas have to do. This tamasic to rajasic, rajasic to sattvic, is to raise the minds from the worldly sense to the spiritual sense. So, Swami has told this story about the two fisherwomen. Bharatiya culture at one time, Swami says, was so great. Of course, now we talked about the rishis. But even apart from that, even among the citizens, etc., he gives us a nice example. Alexander the Great conqueror, you know, world conqueror, he came to India. But of course, he didn't conquer India. But even the north, he had some battles and all. In some places he was defeated, some places he won. He was traveling with his, marching with his army on the roads in the north. See? And when they were walking on the one of the pathways on the horses, they were going by the horses, they saw a man, poor looking man, a yogi actually, sitting on the road, middle of the road, and contemplating. So Alexander sends his commander to drive him away so that they can march. The commander comes and tells him to get away from the road, but this yogi just looks at him and smiles. He doesn't do anything. So he is unable to do anything to this man. He comes back and reports to Alexander that that man is not moving. So Alexander is angry, upset. He gets down from his horse, comes to the man, and he pulls out his sword. He says, "If you don't move out of here, I will chop off your head." And of all the things, the yogi starts laughing. The yogi starts laughing at Alexander. That is true gyan, fearlessness. He says, he quotes from the Upanishads actually. Him the fire cannot burn, the wind cannot dry, water cannot wet. What to speak of this mortal sword, he says. And Alexander is shocked. This man is fearless. Now Alexander had given a promise to his guru, Aristotle, in Greece, that he will bring a jnani from India to Greece, where he can guide the government or the royal court on how to develop the country, the welfare of the people, etc. And so Alexander falls flat at his feet, and he takes him to Greece. He takes him as one of his gurus for guidance to Greece. And it is said that Alexander also got realization in his last stage of life because of this guru. So that when he was dying, he died at a very young age, 33 or something, after conquering half the world. He said, "Put my hands up like this, open, so that people will know that I came with nothing and I am going with nothing." That is a state of understanding that he developed at the time of death, you know. So we see that these great ones have been influencing people. These truths have also been spreading all over the world, may not be in the way we advertise here in the modern times. It has gone slowly but surely into all the corners of the world. And we find that these great truths are now part of Western psychology, Western philosophy also. It went through the Middle East, it went to Europe, from Europe it went to the New World. It was translated, the Upanishads were translated first into Persian, in the Middle East. From Persian it was translated into Latin in Europe, and then from Latin to Greek and French and German, etc., etc., and English, and then went to the New World, the Americas, etc. So it has been spreading, and it has been appreciated also by many of the great scholars of the West. Like we have Max Muller, then Schopenhauer, and William James. They all, words like Maya and etc. are very much used in the Western philosophy now. They are taken from the works of Shankara and Adi Shankara, as some of the great scholars of India. At one time I had shown a PowerPoint presentation about what these men have to say about the Upanishads, about the Bhagavad Gita and all. Maybe sometime we will show it again. How much they... For example, Schopenhauer has said, the Upanishads have been the solace of my life and they will be the solace of my death. Because Upanishads talk only about death and immortality. And then Max Muller, the great German scholar. You know one funny story that Swami told about Max Muller? I thought I'll just repeat it. Because our topics are so serious, there's no time to laugh. Max Muller was a professor of Eastern philosophy in Germany. I'm not sure it's Kiev or Berlin or somewhere. He was a great scholar. He had studied Sanskrit and he had translated the Vedas into, not Vedas, the Upanishads into German language. Such a great scholar. It was like as if one of the rishis, ancient rishis of India was born in Germany. And he looked like that also with his big beard and big hair. This man was very much fond of the Upanishads. And one day he came to know that in that university a young man has joined from India. And his name is Chaturvedi. Now in India, these Chaturvedis are Brahmins. Chatur means four Vedas. He has mastered four Vedas. Trivedis means those who have mastered three Vedas. Dvivedis are those who have mastered two Vedas. And Vedis are those who have mastered one Veda. So Max Muller was amazed. He said, here is a man who has mastered four Vedas. I want to talk to him. And he calls this Chaturvedi to his home for a dinner, you know. And after dinner he starts raising some questions which he has about the Upanishads. And he finds to his amazement that this Chaturvedi doesn't know Sanskrit, he has never read the Vedas, he has come there for some Western education. And Max Muller is shocked. What? A Chaturvedi who doesn't know Sanskrit, a Chaturvedi who has not read the Vedas, a Chaturvedi only by name. See, this is the sorry state of our Indian Bharatiya culture. And he comes to know about it. We run after so many of the Western sciences and Western philosophies, forgetting our own basic culture. So it is something that we have to re-educate ourselves probably. We have to re-culture or redefine ourselves in the ways of our ancient ones, you know, the elders, ancient elders and the rishis. It's very, very difficult, no doubt. But then when Swami comes and when the avatars come, it becomes much easier. And you see that the Vedic schools and the Veda chanting that is going on everywhere, people are showing more and more interest in the Vedas and the Upanishads and the scriptures, ancient scriptures. Surely Bharat will again rise to the occasion. Hopefully we will have more and more scholars, more and more gyanis, more and more men of wisdom. Otherwise this world as Swami Vivekananda says, among all the nations, Bharat is like the steam engine, because it is the leader, spiritual leader of the world, guru of the world. And all other coaches are like different nations. You have America, Russia, and Europe, and Germany, and France. Unless the steam engine can run and take them, they will end up in problems. So we have to play that role of the leader, spiritual leader of the world. And that can only happen if we go back to our ancient teachings and ancient scriptures. That's a great ideal to worth living for, worth striving for. And always great people have come to see that we don't stray away too much and come back into the path of God-given path of the scriptures. In fact, if I remember, in 1898, when Vivekananda visited Europe, he visited many of the countries there, France, Germany, Italy, Poland, and all that. And he sent a letter to people in India. Whole of Europe is sitting on a volcano which can burst any minute. Unless it is showered with the life-giving waters of spirituality from India, in the next 25 years, the volcano will erupt. And exactly 25 years later, the First World War started in Europe, 1914. I think he said it in 1890 or something, 1889. So exactly in 25 years, it erupted and all of Europe was involved in that World War I. Austria, Germany, France, Italy, etc., etc. And after that we had another world war. God knows we have averted the third world war maybe because of the great ones like Swami. But we don't know future how it will be. Sai Ram, I think we'll end the talk today.
जानिया हानिया मेरे मां वे मैं दुख सुख तेरे नाल पोलना तेरे बिन नहीं लगदा दिल मेरा ढोलना तेरे बिन नहीं लगदा दिल मेरा ढोलना बिन नहीं लगदा दिल मेरा ढोलना बिन नहीं लगदा दिल मेरा ढोलना जानिया हानिया मेरे साजना मैं सुख सुख तेरे नाल बोलना तेरे बिन तेरे बिन नहीं लगदा दिल मेरा ढोलना 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 ओ जानिया
ਤੇਰਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਇਹ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਫਿਰ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਫਿਰ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਖਬਰ ਤੂੰ ਇਸ ਲਈ ਕਰਨਾ ਏ ਬੇਪਰਵਾਈਆਂ ਕੀਤੇ ਵਾਦੇ ਕਸਮਾਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਯਾਦ ਕਵੀ ਨਾ ਆਈਆਂ ਇਹ ਗਿਲਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਦਾ ਖੋਲਿਆ ਤੂੰ ਜਰਾ ਪਿਆਸ ਨੈਣਾ ਤੋਂ ਕਰ ਮਿਹਰਬਾਨ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ 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 ਕਾਲੇ ਬਦਲਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਸੀਨੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅੱਗ ਲਾ ਗਏ ਲੰਘ ਗਈਆਂ ਕਈ ਬਰਸਾਤਾਂ ਹੋ ਕੁਛ ਕਾਲੇ ਬਦਲਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਸੀਨੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅੱਗ ਲਾ ਗਏ ਲੰਘ ਗਈਆਂ ਕਈ ਬਰਸਾਤਾਂ ਹੋ ਤੁਰ ਗਿਓ ਸਜਣਾ ਨਿੰਦਰਾਂ ਖੋ ਕੇ ਜਾਗ ਕੇ ਕੱਟੀਆਂ ਰਾਤਾਂ ਆਵੀ ਜਾਣਾ ਸਤਾ ਵਸਤਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਦਾ ਇਹ ਰੁੱਤਾਂ ਸੋਹਣੀਆਂ ਮੁੜ ਨਹੀਂਆਂ ਹਾੜੀਆਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਫਿਰ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਫਿਰ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਜਾਣੀਆਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਿਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਦਿਲ ਮੇਰਾ ਡੋਲਨਾ
ਕਿਸਨੇ ਉਸਕੋ ਐਸੇ ਲੂਟਾ ਕਿ ਫਿਰ ਉੜ ਨਾ ਪਾਇਆ ਗਿਰਤਾ ਹੁਆ ਵੋ ਆਸਮਾਂ ਸੇ ਆਕਰ ਗਿਰਾ ਜ਼ਮੀਨ ਪਰ
خوابوں میں پھر بھی بادل ہی تھے وہ کہتا رہا مگر کہ اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا اپنے پر ہی تو اس نے تھا اڑنا سیکھا ہو کے اپنے پر ہی تو ہو کے اپنے پر ہی تو اس نے تھا اڑنا سیکھا
غم کو اپنے ساتھ میں لے لے درد بھی تیرے کام آئے گا
اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا ٹکڑے ہو گیا تھا ہر سپنا جب وہ ٹوٹا ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہو گیا تھا ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہو گیا تھا ہر سپنا جب وہ ٹوٹا
بکھرے ٹکڑوں میں اللہ کی مرضی کا منظر آئے گا
اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا
اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا ٹوٹا ٹوٹا ایک پرندہ ایسے ٹوٹا کہ پھر جڑ نہ پایا لوٹا لوٹا کس نے اس کو ایسے لوٹا پھر اڑ نہ پایا
گرتا ہوا وہ آسمان سے آ کر گرا زمین پر خوابوں میں پھر بھی بادل ہی تھے وہ کہتا رہا مگر
کہ اللہ کے بندو ہنس دو اللہ کے بندو اللہ کے بندو ہنس دو جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا سنگلوں اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے اللہ کے بندے اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے جو بھی ہو کل پھر آئے گا اللہ کے بندے ہنس دے کل پھر آئے گا
हाथ जोड़ के बोली गवर जा, हाथ जोड़ के बोली गवर जा, तीनों लोक बसाए बस्ती में, तीनों लोक बसाए बस्ती में, आप बसे वीराने में जी, आप बसे वीराने में, हरी राम भजो जी, राम भजो जी, राम भजो जी, राम भजो जी, शिव का वंदन किया करो अजी, शिव का वंदन किया करो जी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, मेरी एक सुनो अंतर्यामी, मेरी एक सुनो भोले स्वामी, मैं तो दासी जन्म जन्म की, मैं तो दासी जन्म जन्म, बाली उम्र से भक्ति करती, बचपन से मैं भक्ति करती, तुम्हें छोड़ के कहीं न जाऊं, तुम्हें छोड़ के कहीं न जाऊं, रात दिवस तेरे चरण दबाऊं, रात दिवस तेरे चरण दबाऊं, तुम्हें जो छोड़ूं तो मर जाऊं, तुम्हें जो छोड़ूं तो मर जाऊं, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, भाई अगर बम 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 लहरी, भाई अगर बम 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 लहरी, मेरी एक सुनो जी दीनानाथ, मैं दिन भर तो तेरी भंग रगड़ूंगी, दिन भर तो मैं भंग रगड़ूंगी, भंग रगड़ूं तेरा रगड़ूं पूरा, भंग रगड़ूं तेरा रगड़ूं धतूरा, काज करूंगी तेरा पूरा, हुक्म बजाऊं तेरा पूरा, तुझे पिलाऊं पिरगना दिया, तुझे पिलाऊं पिरगना, और जो बच जावे मैं पी लूंगी, अमृत जान समझ पी लूंगी, शरण में ले लो भोलेनाथ मोय, अपनी बना ले दीनानाथ जी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, भाई अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, एक सुनो जी पार्वती मेरी, एक सुनो गोरा रानी, इस जंगल में तू क्या पावेगी, कंजरी बन बन मर जावेगी, हाथी चिंगाड़े शेर दहाड़े, हाथी चिंगाड़े शेर दहाड़, कसम रमाऊं धुनी रमाऊं, पांडव कर कर डमरू बजाऊं, कुपा बीच मेरा है डेरारी, अभी कमल जा ए गोरारी, अभी मान जा ए गोरा, मेरे भूत की माला गले पड़ी, मेरे खक्कड़ माला गले पड़ी, तो देखी सडर जावेगी, मेरे संग तू क्या पावे, कोई अच्छा कुंवर राजा का ढूंढ, कोई रूप कमत राजा का ढूंढ, तो रानी बन के बैठ महल तू, रानी बन के बैठ महल, हरी संभल जा हे गोरारी, हाँ मान जा हे गोरारी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी, अगर बम 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 लहरी,
शंभू स्थान धर्म के तंबो, जो देखे कैड़ा उसकी आंख में चरिका फैड़ा, अड़ा डरा बम पहला गुरु पीछे हम, ओम नमः पार्वती सतय हर हर महादेव,
ओम शिव शंकर शंभु महादेव, शिव शंकर शंभु जटाजूट हर शंकर शंभु भस्मदार, शिव शंकर शंभु ओम ओम शिव शंकर शंभु महादेव, शिव शंकर शंभु जटाजूट हर शंकर शंभु भस्मदार, शिव शंकर शंभु ओम ओम शिव शंकर शंभु महादेव।